Welcome back to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Downs. We're joined now by Paul Sollentrup. He is strategic communications with Wichita State University. He used to work for the Wichita Eagle covering the Shockers, still covers the Shockers there for Wichita State. You just moved up to where you're on the payroll, Wichita State. Is that right, Paul?
That's exactly right. It was switched back in September and still doing a lot of the same things, but I work for the university now.
Everything going well for you guys?
It is, yeah. I'm enjoying the new job.
So Wichita State, they moved to the American Athletic Conference. No question that looks like the right move 1 year in based on how they were seeded when the tournament bracket came out.
Yeah, that's been the overriding story of the whole season. I guess really going back to last spring when Wichita State got into the American Athletic Conference. And, you know, at the time, I don't think anybody thought there was much of a downside, and it's worked out as well or better than I think Shocker fans and the administration would have hoped. From a basketball perspective, yeah, they're a number four seed. It was well documented. You know, the last two or three years, they were not happy with their seeds in the NCAA tournament. They got into a new conference, a conference that produced number two seed Cincinnati and number six seed Houston in addition to Wichita State. That is exactly what Wichita State wanted out of the new conference.
Do we put maybe too much emphasis on how good it was for the basketball program? Like, overall for the school, has this been good? We know the travel. There's more travel involved. And the reason I bring this up is, and I know men's basketball is certainly covered more, and honestly, it sounds cruel to say, but is definitely more important in the bigger scheme of things than women's basketball. But not only does Wichita State have to play against this type of competition, AAC, in men's basketball, but the women got to play against UConn, who they lost to by, I think, 87 points or something earlier this year. How has this impacted the move to AAC for other programs and sports, and for the university as a whole, has that been a good thing?
Yeah, the president, Dr. John Bardo, I have to go back and look, I think it was maybe 2015 at some point, you know, kind of got this ball rolling. He wanted to take a look at Wichita State's athletic department from a conference affiliation standpoint. He wanted to find out what was out there, what was a fit, who was interested, and he also wanted to look at, you know, adding other sports. Did football make sense? Did other sports make sense? And how did those two things fit together? So, you know, he had the idea that Wichita State did not fit great into the Missouri Valley Conference from a, you know, from an institutional standpoint. It doesn't have a lot in common with a lot of those schools. You know, a lot of those schools are in smaller towns like Carbondale, Illinois, and Terre Haute, Indiana. There's several private schools, Drake, Evansville, Loyola in the Valley. And Wichita State is kind of a different animal than those schools from an educational, from an institutional perspective. So he wanted to see if there was something better for them out there. And then from a competitive standpoint, you know, I think in a lot of sports, but especially in men's basketball, they were looking for something different. So he started that, and it ended up being a match with the American, kind of tied a lot to the Big 12, because when the Big 12 went through their, I guess, expansion process where they were kind of entertaining all comers, there were a lot of American schools that were interested in that spot. When the Big 12 said, no, we're going to stay at 10, I think that allowed the American to say, all right, we've got some stability here. What else can we do to make ourselves stronger? Wichita State was out on the open market at that point, and the American looked at Wichita State, and it made a lot of sense from a basketball, no football standpoint, from a geographic standpoint. And so that's what happened.
Has the early returns been, obviously from the men's basketball side of things, it's been fantastic, but overall, is the university pleased with I don't know how the breakdown is with revenue sharing and the AAC and everything else, but has this all in all the first year gone fairly smoothly considering everything?
I think so. You know, the revenue sharing will be something, you know, Wichita State kind of jumped in, and I would have to go back and look at all, you know, some of the details when I did stories on this at the Eagle. But, you know, they're not part of the AAC's television package at this point because
right.
The contract is ongoing.
Right.
And, you know, when the AAC does do a new television package here in the next, I think it's 2 years or something like that, you know, that will be tilted toward the football schools because football will probably drive that. So, you know, Wichita State in that, from that perspective, you know, they're not going to share as much, you know, as one of the football schools might. But when you consider, you know, what the Missouri Valley Conference television was, you know, you were thrilled if it was a break-even proposition. So if they can beat that at all, which they will, that's a win. And then from the exposure, it's just been great. I think every conference game was on, you know, one of the ESPN networks.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had games on, they had two games on CBS. The conference tournament semifinals were on CBS. So, you know, if you're a Shocker fan in Tallahassee, Florida, or Buffalo, New York, you know, it's a lot easier to find Wichita State because of that, because of ESPN and CBS Sports Network and those kind of things.
Yeah, the exposure's definitely been a step up, no question, from the Valley to the AAC and developing a little bit of a rivalry with Cincinnati. Those games were terrific this year. I was hoping to see a third version of it. Of course, Houston prevented that by beating the Shockers in the semifinals of the conference tournament. But Wichita State had an outstanding year during the regular season, 25-7, second AAC. And as you mentioned, they're a number four seed. And we're talking to Paul Sollentrup with Strategic Communications there with Wichita State University, formerly worked for the Wichita Eagle, covering the Shockers. And he's our guest today on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Crossroads Bar and Grill in Down. So let's look at the bracket. Wichita State is the number four seed, and they draw a 13 seed in Marshall. What do we know about Wichita State's opponent as they get ready for them in San Diego coming up 12:30 on Friday?
Yeah, Marshall's really interesting from a storytelling perspective. Their coach is Dan D'Antoni, brother of Mike D'Antoni of the Houston Rockets, and they share a lot of the same basketball philosophies. Marshall is Marshall University is all about shooting three-pointers. They're very into that. They play at a really fast pace, one of the fastest paces in the country. Pretty experienced team. They won the Conference USA tournament. Got some really good, both of their guards, John Elmore and C.J. Hicks, were all-conference, all-district kind of guys. They have the Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year. He led the nation in block shots. So an interesting style of play. Dan D'Antoni is an interesting guy to listen to talk, and I think it'll be an entertaining run-up to the game, no doubt.
Well, Wichita State, it's amazing how consistent they've been. Seven straight appearance NCAA tournament, 15th overall. They are one of five schools that have won at least a game in each of the last five tournaments. That's joining Kansas, Gonzaga, Oregon, and North Carolina, and all those teams had much better seeds than Wichita State has. I mean, Greg Marshall, I think he's a terrific coach, and I think he's the type of guy that he gets the most out of his players. And you probably saw the comment that Charles Barkley, who I don't think is much of a guru on college basketball at all, I think he should stick with pros. But he made a good point the other day I thought was pretty funny, and that was that, you know, it's amazing what Coach Marshall's done, because all these other major teams and top flight teams and programs, the blue bloods of college basketball, have McDonald's All-Americans to work with, whereas Greg Marshall's working with guys that eat at McDonald's. Now, that might have been a little extreme, but the point was that Greg Marshall doesn't have the guys that a Kansas, a Duke, a Kentucky, Arizona, whoever might have, a UCLA, and he's been able to do it with guys maybe a little bit under the radar. How good has this run really been when you put it in perspective with Greg Marshall at a mid-major?
First, I made a mistake. Let me go back and correct it. I think I said C.J. Hicks plays for Marshall. His last name is actually Burks. So
okay.
I want to make sure I got that right.
Sure.
Yeah, it's been, you know, fabulous. I mean, it is changed the way that which people look at Wichita State basketball. You know, it's had some really good moments in the past. In the 60s, it was very strong when the Missouri Valley Conference was, you know, maybe the best basketball conference in the nation. Wichita State had a really good run throughout the 80s. And then Mark Turgeon got it going back again when he was hired in the early 2000s. They made the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16 in 2006. And then Greg Marshall came in two seasons later and has taken it places that, you know, probably few people really thought it could go. As for the recruiting, you know, you just got to credit him and his assistants. They have a really good eye for people who are, you know, flying maybe a little bit under the radar, people who will come in and work hard and develop, you know, maintaining really good recruiting connections so you know you can get guys who will come in and you know, do what's required of them as far as practicing hard and working hard. And it's obviously you've got to have the talent, and he and his coaching staff have done a fantastic job of getting the talent and then keeping it going throughout. You know, you might say this is the third or fourth kind of you know, group that has come through here, and all those NCAA tournaments in a row speak to what they've done.
Well, let's talk about the Shockers this year. To me, when I watch them, first of all, I think Wichita State's extremely dangerous. I've been saying this all year long, and some people might not want to hear this, but especially KU fans. But to me, it's matchups. I don't really get caught up in the seeding too much. I think it was a little overblown, the angst by Shocker fans about how they got the short end of the stick with the seeding last year, because to me, I was looking more at the matchups, and I think that's more important than the seeding most of the times. Having said that, it helps to be a 4 seed against a 13 instead of being a 13 versus a 4 usually. When I look at the Shockers and I watch them play this year, and correct me if I'm wrong because I haven't watched them play every single game, but I have seen them more often than I usually do, as you mentioned, because they're in the AAC with better TV deal, is that this team seems to be better offensively than some of these years where they've had outstanding teams, but they seem to be a little bit more vulnerable defensively. There have been games where they've given up 50 points and a half. Now, granted, having said that, they're also playing against better competition night in and night out in the AAC than they were in the Valley. So how would you compare the Shocker team, the teams in the past, in regards defensively, offensively, and is this team a legitimate threat to maybe make a deep run and even knock off, say, a West Virginia and a Villanova?
Yeah, you hit it exactly right. It is a very good offensive team, perhaps the best that Greg's had here, or certainly one of the best. Defensively has been a source of concern. They've given up more points and more points more efficiently than what they're used to and what they're comfortable with. And so that's something that, you know, I think they're constantly kind of wrestling with. And you would think it has the kind of the groundwork or the basics to be a good defensive team. It was a good defensive team last year. And, you know, I think they are in a situation where they need to, you know, if they're going to advance in the NCAA tournament, you know, if it's a team that has been able to get maybe two or three stops in a row, they're going to have to ratchet that up to where they can get four or five stops in a row, because there will probably be games, even as good as they are offensively, where, you know, you're going to shoot 6 for 20 from three instead of 10 for 20 from three, and you're going to need to lean on your defense. And they haven't been able to do that for long stretches this season. I think they played a little bit better on defense in the conference tournament. They've got to keep that going. And if there's a time, you know, if this team is capable of really locking in on defense and stopping people for longer stretches, then obviously this is the time to get it going.
I didn't finish my thought earlier. What I meant to say is, when I get in trouble with, say, KU fans, is that I think of Wichita State and KU played. Based on what I've seen with Wichita State, KU doesn't have much depth on the bench. And KU, you know, Wichita State's usually a pretty physical team. Shamet could guard and defend Graham, I think, pretty well to the extent. I think Graham would have to, obviously, going to have to play 40 minutes if they played Wichita State. And I do think that Wichita State, if I had to pick them, if they played on a neutral floor right now in the NCAA tournament, I would probably pick Wichita State. And Shocker fans KU fans have kind of told me, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, have you watched Wichita State play? Have you seen KU play? Now, I know they're not in the same bracket, so the only time they would meet would be in the Final Four. But the reason I bring that up, Paul, is that this Shocker team, they have considerable depth. They have experience. They've got seniors. They've got experience in the front court with Shaq Morris. They've got experience in the back court with Shamet and Frankamp and others. It just seems to me that when we get into the NCAA tournament, a lot of times teams that are experienced, that have been there, done that, that really helps them come crunch time late in the NCAA tournament game.
Certainly, they have a lot of the aspects you would look for. They started out the season and they were considered a Final Four type of team, and I think that was legitimate. They're probably not, you know, being a 4 seed, they've probably slid back a little bit in some of those projections. When you're looking at, you know, after if you get by Marshall, then you're looking at maybe West Virginia, you're looking maybe at Villanova down the road. That's a tough road, but I don't think it is. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be saying that there is, you know, no way that this Wichita State team could advance. We all know crazy, unexpected things happen in March, and they've got many of the ingredients you would want in a team that can win several games in this tournament.
They've got really good guard play. I mean, I saw Shamet when he missed the one game due to sickness. Frankamp stepped up, played point guard, played really well. They've got a lot of interchangeable parts, don't they?
They do, and they're deep. They're not, you know, sometimes rotations tighten up a bit in March, and that's happened to a certain extent at Wichita State. But, you know, I think they pretty comfortably in most situations can go 9, 10 deep into the bench, and that's always helpful. They've got several people that can, you know, besides Landry Shamet, Connor Frankamp and Austin Reeves can both run the offense a little bit. They are, you know, Shamet and Frankamp, they consider Shamet the point guard and Frankamp the shooting guard, but I would say they're both more, you know, kind of combo guards. Mm-hmm. Both of them have played both positions a lot. Both of them, you know, they can play off each other really well. And Austin Reeves can do some of those same things. So they are versatile.
Tell us a little bit more about Shamet, because to me, I think nationally people might not know him as well. To me, he does what this team has to do in order to win, and I saw he stepped it up offensively in the AAC tournament. Tell us a little bit more about him and what makes him tick and what makes him so good.
Well, I guess you start with his shooting, which is sometimes a little bit rare for a point guard, but he is an excellent jump shooter, and he can do it in a lot of different ways. He can come off screens. He can do it while dribbling, all those kind of things. He's getting better and better at getting to the basket, and that's really important. And he's also improved a lot as a point guard. He did not come to Wichita State maybe as a, you know, certainly not as a pure point guard, and kind of took over that role. Oh, last year, early in Missouri Valley Conference play, they kind of swapped those two roles between Shamet and Frankamp, and Landry's done a very good job there. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot, but maybe a little bit more than, you know, Shocker fans were kind of spoiled with Fred VanVleet, who never turned the ball over. But he's a, you know, Landry can run the pick and roll. He really hurt Cincinnati in the game at Cincinnati by, you know, beating them with the pick and roll and getting the offense started that way. Really takes the game seriously. I think he's a good defender, works hard on defense. He's not as, you know, kind of physically stout as maybe VanVleet or Baker were, so he's not as good a defender as those two are, but his defense is not a weakness of his, definitely. So he is, all conference in the American. He's their guy, no doubt.
And he's just a sophomore. That's pretty scary. When you look at this bracket, how far do you have Wichita State going, and who are you worried about in this bracket for the Shockers?
Yeah, I think every year when I, you know, talk to people, you know, people always ask you who scares you or who mm-hmm. do you not want to be matched up against. And no matter where West Virginia is in a bracket, they always seem to scare me just because of the physical style that they play and the pressing. And I think if you don't see it often, and, you know, maybe nobody outside of the Big 12 does, I think that could be a real issue. So when you think about that as a matchup for Wichita State, obviously, that's a challenge. Excuse me. Now, Wichita State faced something similar against Cincinnati at Cincinnati and did really well against it. So that would give you something to think about as well. That would be a fascinating matchup. I think, you know, I guess I always think with these tournaments, once you get playing good teams on neutral courts, a lot of these games are, you know, 50-50 or 60-40. And the one team that makes three three-pointers more than the other team, or, you know, gets a few foul calls or a few bounces, I think they've got a chance to advance. I can see Wichita State going into this second weekend. I don't think it's out of the realm that they could get to the Final Four. But certainly, it's a tough road for them.
It is. I've got them going. I almost picked them to make it to the Elite Eight. It was really hard because I have them beating West Virginia. I think they have the guard play to handle that pressure. I don't think they're going to shy away from it. I don't think Wichita State's afraid of physical play. And I think in the NCAA tournament, I think the officiating at times, I noticed it with West Virginia last year, I think they made it to, what was it, the Sweet 16 and lost. And they got in a lot of foul trouble, although they are deep. I think depends a lot on the officiating crew that's going to be assigned to a West Virginia game, how they're going to call it. They're going to let them play. That's an advantage, West Virginia. If they don't, I think West Virginia's in some trouble. But I like Wichita State to get through the first weekend like you, and I think they make it to Sweet 16 against Villanova, but I ended up picking Villanova. But I would not be shocked if Wichita State would knock off Villanova and make it to Elite Eight and make it to the Final Four, no doubt about it. We're talking Paul Solentrup. He's with Strategic Communications there with Wichita State University, works for the university. I used to work for the Wichita Eagle covering the Shockers. Let's shift gears for a couple things here at the end, Paul, and that is Kansas State has talked about how they want to strengthen their non-conference schedule in men's basketball. and there have been questions asked of Gene Taylor about Wichita State. There was a time where I think K-State would not even consider playing Wichita State, but now that they're in a better conference, the AAC, and they are a more of a name nationally when it comes to college basketball and what they've done over the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years, it makes it a more appealing game to help your non-conference strength of schedule. Some people have thrown out that K-State simply should do a home-and-home with Wichita State, that Wichita State is really the second-best basketball program in the state right now, ahead of Kansas State, behind KU. What would you think about that, and what have you heard in regards to possibly a K-State-Wichita State doing a home-and-home or working out some kind of arrangement to play in the non-con?
Makes total sense, and I think Wichita State, you know, in all the conversations and reporting that I've done over the years, I think they were always interested in playing Kansas State for all the reasons that are obvious to everyone, and I think a home-and-home is, you know, appropriate and makes sense for both and would be of great interest. I think in general my sense on college athletics is that it's kind of crazy when, you know, and this is not just a Kansas State Wichita State thing, but, you know, these schools should be, if you have a chance to play a comparable opponent, you know, within 2 or 3 hours from all the reasons of fan interest and getting people to the game and back for class and all those kind of reasons, then it should be done more often than it should not. So I think that's a fine idea, and I think Wichita State would definitely be open to that possibility.
Every time, every year at this time, Greg Marshall's name's floated around every once in a while for job openings. I really haven't heard that this year at all so far. Maybe I'm missing something. Is this, what would cause Greg Marshall to leave Wichita State? What would it take for him to leave Wichita State? Because he's got a heck of a gig there. He's getting paid a lot of money. He's the only game in town, in essence. There's no football program to compete against. What would it take for Greg Marshall to leave Wichita State? Is there a job or something out there that might be really enticing to him?
Yeah, nothing has popped up so far, although you're exactly right. It's, you know, it's an annual question, and I think that it comes back to, like you said, Wichita State, you know, he's paid like a top, I don't know exactly now, but I would guess maybe top 15 or top 20 coach in the nation. He's in a better conference, which I think removed one, you know, incentive for him to maybe look around. So then you'd have to start thinking about how many programs out there that are able to offer something better. And I think the more he has done at Wichita State, then, you know, that list has kind of shrunk. So that's a good question. Those jobs then have to open up. Those jobs then have to be interested in him. And it begins to get to be a pretty small list that I think most people would look at and say, you know, that is definitely a step up, or that is definitely a situation he would be interested in. And, you know, obviously it's not my job to speak for what he wants or where he might go, but I know, you know, he's made it pretty clear he loves Wichita. His family loves Wichita. I think he's very proud of what he's built at Wichita State. He hasn't built it out of nothing, but he's certainly taken it someplace that not a lot of people would. He's going to go to San Diego this weekend and see two of his former assistants. Chris Jans is the head coach at New Mexico State. Earl Grant is the head coach at College of Charleston. And I think those kind of things matter to him. I think he's proud of the route that he took. You know, he played Division II basketball. He doesn't have, you know, big names in his, you know, in his background that could pick up the phone and get him a really good job. He didn't play in the NBA, all those kind of things that a lot of coaches or some coaches get a start with. I think he is proud of taking that route, and I think that, you know, Wichita State kind of fits into that part of that narrative about what he likes. So, you know, I don't know. He doesn't consult me on, sure, on job searches, but he appears to be, you know, he's put in his 10th or 11th year at Wichita State. He seems to really like it. The program seems to be in a really good place. So I would anticipate him being around.
Do you think, I know this is a tough question, but we all of us in sports get spoiled. And we've seen, of course, with KU basketball, we've seen it when the Chiefs have a good run or the Royals make back-to-back World Series. We tend to get a little bit spoiled. Is there a chance, and I don't know, you've got a better pulse on the fan base at Wichita than I do, although I have seen a few people comment that There have been a few people starting to rumble about here and there not agreeing with Coach Marshall doing this or doing that, which means, of course, that he's built the expectations. He's built a tremendous program. And that, you know, when you make the tournament every year, now it might be that you're in the AAC, getting the second round's not good enough. We expect to make it to Elite Eight or Sweet 16 every year. And so the expectations may get out of hand. Maybe those are realistic expectations every year. I do not know. But do you think there's a situation where down the line where he keeps spoiling the fans of Wichita State, the Shocker fans, to where they're in the tournament every year and they're competing for conference championships like they did this year with Cincinnati, or God forbid he has a couple years where they might be a bubble team and still get an NCAA tournament. Do you think that Wichita State fans could be spoiled enough to get to a point where they say, all right, we forgot where we were before Greg Marshall, and now Greg Marshall's been here for a long time, and get spoiled and get and basically underappreciate what the man has done?
That would not be a concern of mine. I would think that would be both unlikely and way, way down the line.
Okay.
I think in sports media, we spend maybe an out-of-proportion time worried about or thinking about the, you know, maybe the fringe 5%.
Yes.
As opposed to what most people think, and I would think it would take a massive erosion of fan base support for it to get anywhere close to that. I think Wichita State people have a pretty good sense of, you know, what this program is and what Greg Marshall has contributed. So
he's built a lot of credibility, no question about it. And I think I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt if, God forbid, they have one down year or two or three even. I mean, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt, no doubt. Okay, time for the off-the-wall question for you, Paul. Have you done any have you ever done college basketball player drafts?
I have not. I've thought about it in the past briefly, but I have never participated in one, no.
Okay, so here's your off-the-wall question. I know it's going to be really tough and putting you on the spot, but if you were in a player draft this year and you could pick any player in the NCAA tournament, we're trying to score points, of course, who would be your number one? If you had the number one overall pick to pick a player to score the most points in the NCAA tournament, who would be your number one pick?
Are we talking average or total?
It's total points scored in the tournament. That's what you're looking for. Usually guys will point to guys that average 20, 21, 22 points a game. You're trying to figure out how many games they'll play. You know, if you pick Trey Young might be one and done and score you 40. That helped you, but would it be better to go with somebody you think's going to make the championship game or the Final Four?
Right. I will go with, how about Marvin Bagley from Duke? He seems to be a good combination of scoring and a likelihood of a deep run.
You know, that's a great answer because that would have been my number one pick, but I never get to draw the number one pick. So I picked six last night, and I had DeAndre Ayton of Arizona as a four because he averages 20, and I think they can make a deep run. But you and I on the same page. If I had the first pick, I would have taken Bagley of Duke as well. Who's your Final Four? Do you fill out a bracket this year?
You know, I haven't. That was on my list of things to do at some point today. So I would, it is incredibly lame, but I would have to beg off that because right now I couldn't even tell you exactly who's in what region. I've looked at it, but I have not picked one, and I have not gone back over it to make sure I didn't pick two teams out of the West or something like that.
Of all the college basketball you've seen this year or read about, who do you think is the most dangerous team or the team that's most likely to win it all?
Ooh, I would go with, how about Michigan State? I really like Jaren Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I like Tom Izzo. They always seem to be, I guess not every year, they've had their share of upsets, but I think they've got the kind of track record. If I had a bracket in front of me, I could give you more of a, I think they have to get by Duke, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, they'd
have
to
get the same region with Duke.
Yeah, they have to get through Duke and maybe Kansas.
Yeah, so I guess that kills my Marvin Bagley pick.
That's what you do to hedge your bet, though. You pick one team in the bracket,
right,
and then you got the guy on the other side, so you can't lose, you know, or you can't.
I'm more of a team guy than an individual guy.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
Yeah, Michigan State, I kind of like them. I've liked Purdue when I've seen them as kind of a team that,
mm-hmm,
you know, they're number two seed, so you can't really call them a sleeper, but they're not a team that I don't think gets a lot of run as far as a potential national champion Final Four kind of team, but they seem to, you know, every time I watch them, they seem to impress me.
Okay, good answers. I'll note that when I'm filling out my bracket, and if I take your advice and it doesn't work out, I won't hold it against you. How's that sound, Paul?
I want none of the credit and none of the blame. That's kind of my life goal.
That's a good life goal. I like that. Paul, why don't you let people know where people can follow the Shockers online, where they can read more about the Shockers and all that good stuff, because I know you have the answers to that.
Yeah, the things I write go on the university or the athletic department website, goshockers.com, and you can find it there. You can follow me on Twitter, at Paul Sullentrop, and... try to write some interesting stories about the Shockers.
Are you going out to San Diego? Are you already going out that way or already out there? Or what's the plans there?
We head out this afternoon.
Well, safe travels, San Diego. Enjoy it. And we thank you for the time. And go Shockers in the tournament. We'll talk to you again next year.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
bye.
Paul. That's Paul Sullentrop, Wichita State University, Strategic Communications. Read his work there. GoShockers.com. We thank Paul for his time today here on the Sports Ticket. Tomorrow, John Kurtz of K-Man out of Manhattan will be with us to break down K-State's matchup against the Creighton Blue Jays. Friday, it's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, to talk about KU's, hopefully, second-round opponent. Hopefully, they don't lose first round to a 16, which would be the first time ever a 1 loses a 16. So we'll have KU coverage on Friday here on the Sports Ticket. K-State coverage tomorrow. Today, it was Wichita State's turn with Paul Sullentrop.